From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. Mrs. Geeta comes from a family that has been associated with Swami for the last four generations. Her great-grandfather, Mr. Seshagiri Rao, came to Swami in 1943 and was the priest in Prashanti Nilayam for many years. And her father, late Dr. Padmanabhan, was a familiar figure in Swami's ashram in Bangalore. Having the good fortune of being born into a family with so much physical proximity to our beloved Bhagwan, her life is full of exciting and illuminating experiences. This talk was delivered as a part of the Sathya Sai International Organization Region 8 Spiritual Retreat that was held on the 26th of May 2019. And the topic of this talk is the power of Namasmarana. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some Sufi songs by Sri Hansraj Hans from his concert in the Divine Presence on the 15th of July 2011. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. With that, over to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram.
Mukam karoti vachalam panghum langahite girim yat krupa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. Sai Ram, everybody, again. Good morning, and what a wonderful start with a lot of excitement with the youngsters to the day. The topic that Brother Jiva had asked me to speak today was about the power of Namasmarana. I think the last half an hour or so, we have actually spent our time doing Namasmarana. Sometimes we think Namasmarana is only in the form of a bhajan or attending some a bhajan event or a devotional event. But Namasmarana can come in any form. Just talking to the people that you are with and you are enjoying talking about divinity in some way or the other becomes Namasmarana. For me, I am not a very good singer, but whenever I am asked to come to any retreat, anywhere else, I spend my 3 days doing Namasmarana because I am talking to you all about the old days, my own experiences with Swami. And when I do that, I go back in time and enjoy the same feelings that I had at the time that that event happened. So that is a form of Namasmarana. Of course, you know, at an individual level, we all know, and you are all well versed, you all know that Swami says that Namasmarana, or the repetition of constantly thinking of God, is the easiest path in this time and age. Even if you cannot do anything, even if you are frail, you cannot do seva, you cannot do anything, if you are able to think of him all the time, that is the easiest way to reach him. So at an individual level, all of us can take upon ourselves different ways of practicing Namasmarana. We can sing bhajans, we can read, we can do so many different things. But today I thought a little bit, though it is not yet, I hope to continue down my talk, I hope whatever Swami guides me, but one of the things that we all do that Swami has given to us in the Sai organization is the devotional singing. So at a group level, we all participate somewhere or the other, whether it is in the retreat or whether it is at the Sai center, we participate in devotional singing at a group level. In fact, that was the first thing that Swami did when he declared his mission as Bhagwan Sathya Sai Baba. The first thing that he did was to sing Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. He started his mission with giving importance to Namasmarana. So he has told us that is the easiest way, simplest way, and also something that is worth practicing for ourselves. So individually, as we may do many different things, but when we get together as a group, as we are now in this retreat, then the lead singers and the bhajan followers who are sitting in the audience, at that time, Swami says, some responsibilities fall upon our shoulders. Because the lead singers then have the responsibility of carrying the whole congregation along with them to become devoted to Swami, to experience Swami through music, to experience Swami through the words that you are singing, and to experience Swami first and foremost with the devotion with which the singer is singing. For that, Swami says, certain discipline is necessary for all of us. I'm just going to touch upon that a little bit and then go on to my own personal experiences of how powerful Namasmarana can be. But it can be powerful when we follow certain things within the box that Swami has said. None of this is of my own making, because like I said yesterday, I am not a great scholar of anything. I am a housewife. I worked as a kindergarten teacher because Swami asked me to. And my only qualification is, I like to speak about Him. That's all my qualification, to stand behind and in front of an audience like all of you, who are probably much more educated than I am, much more well-read even of the Sai literature than I am. Some of the disciplines that Swami told us as children, and I can only share that with you, because we were children, at that time there were no Sai centers. So when we went to Prashanthi Nilayam in our childhood days, Swami used to ask everybody to sing. My aunts, my cousins were wonderful bhajan singers. They were actually not bhajan singers. They were all trained in Carnatic classical music. So they were musicians in their own right. But they had to bring themselves down, if one may have to call it, into this bhajan singing kind of a stage where you are singing without too much complication so that the rest of the congregation can follow. So, at that time, the people who were very well trained in classical music, for them to come down to the level of singing Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam in a very straightforward way was very difficult for them. I'm sure there are many classically trained people here who will understand what I'm saying. But Swami said, you forget about your classical training, your ego of your knowledge of your music. Remember, your job here today in this Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir is to raise the conscious level of all the people sitting in this crowd. And if you do it in such a complicated way that they cannot follow, then they might as well read their own book at home. Why attend the bhajan here? So one of the things, tips that Swami gave us as bhajan singers. Be simple, but sing with love. Be simple. Understand the bhajan that you are singing in whichever language that you may sing. Because in those days, most of the devotees who were coming to Swami were South Indians. They were not exposed to Hindi bhajans. But Swami said, you have to understand and learn the words properly. So that was the first thing. Sing simple bhajans. The second thing was be prepared. Don't come and use the Prashanthi Nilayam stage, because that was where we used to do all the bhajan. Don't use that for your experimenting. Don't try out some new bhajan that you heard yesterday, that wonderfully Raja Reddy or somebody sang, who was a very accomplished singer. You heard him sing yesterday evening, so today you want to try it out on all of us. And Swami used to joke in those days and say, I have lot of curly hair around my ears. I can filter the sounds. But the others cannot filter. They have to hear it. Whether you are singing in high pitch, low pitch, wrong words, they all have to hear it. So practice. Learn the bhajan. Be confident. And I don't know, nowadays, you know, somebody told me I have become a dinosaur. Not here in this retreat, but when really good friend of mine. But in our days, when we had to sing in front of Swami, we were not even allowed to have a book or a sheet of paper in front of us. Swami would say that if you need a paper in front of you, you are not prepared to lead a congregation. Practice. Learn the words. Then sing it. Sing a simple bhajan that you are totally confident, and I'm sure there are many singers here who sing beautifully. Yesterday we heard them sing beautifully. And of course we had the wonderful feast of Brother Shiva Prasad putting his heart and soul into those bhajans that he whistled yesterday. We all enjoyed, and we saw how when there is perfection in what you do, how much of sadhana the gentleman must have put it in to hold us captive for 1 hour without moving. Did he just do it overnight? Yes, practiced. I'm sure if you talk to him and interview him, he can tell you how much of sadhana and love and bhakti, devotion has gone into it before he could sit in front of an audience. Forget an audience like us, in front of Swami in Prashanthi Nilayam, and play to the point when Swami just calls him with love to bless him. So that is what Swami expects us, that if you are going to sing not only to the Lord, the Divine Master, but you want to bring your brothers and sisters up to that level to develop that love for that divine master, then practice. Practice. Put some effort into it. And one of the things.
Yes, when you are breathing and you repeat Soham, that must be considered a
Namaskar. Absolutely, yes. Whatever you do with intensity, with thinking of, his question was, when you repeat Soham, could that be considered as Namasmarana? It certainly can. Any time you put your thoughts on Swami and you think of him and repeat it, something that is good, that becomes Namasmarana. That becomes Namasmarana. But specifically, the reason I am going to bhajan is, that is something that as Sai devotees we all love. We love to go to the bhajans. We love to hear the youngsters sing their devotional bhajans here, whether it is in English, and we want to include everybody and we use so many bhajans. We want to understand it, even if they are singing it in a different language, and sing it with understanding and devotion. So that was one of the things that Swami said. The third thing that he said is, you have to take your job as a lead singer seriously. Because again, it is given to a few people to bring up everybody's emotion to that height, is it not? So take that job seriously. And one of the things he had told my sons when they were very young, for the first time my sons sang in front of Swami when they were 2.5. It was a complete surprise. Swami had visited a friend's house of ours, their house in Bangalore. And my twin sons were sitting very close to Swami's chair. They were 2.5. We used to do our Thursday bhajans in the house. They had learned bhajans. And suddenly Swami turned to me and said, "Do your sons sing?" I said, "Only in the..." They could not even pronounce the words yet properly. "So in the house bhajans they sing, Swami." So suddenly he turned to them and he said, "Sing a bhajan." So both my twins were very confidently sitting there. They looked at me to say, "Which bhajan?" And you know what Swami said, Sarvantar Yami Swami, yesterday I was saying, is everywhere with us. He said, "Sing the one that you always sing at home, because you have practiced." Because you have practiced, you know. And they sang that Gopala Radala. They were singing Gopaya Yadayoya. But they sang Gopala Radha Lola in front of Swami. Because they had sung it many times. They didn't make a mistake with the words. Swami hugged them, took them on his lap, and he told everybody, "See, these boys have practiced this bhajan. They didn't have to look at a book." The reason I thought I'll start out with a little bit of what Swami says, Namasmarana at the highest level to reach Bhagwan, we are all on that path. It is not, none of us have reached it yet. But these are some of the tools that Swami has given us. So when we want to use the tools, we have to sharpen those tools and be efficient with those tools. You can't have a blunt knife and try to cut vegetables. It has to be sharp. So he says discipline is important. He says practicing is important. Understand what you're singing, because how can you get devotion if you don't understand? When we all sing that Sarva Dharma bhajans, he says Swami is everywhere. Swami responds to anybody. Doesn't matter what language he calls. We sing these bhajans. But do we really believe that? They're just singing it. They're practicing it. So I will now move on a little bit from practice and discipline, which is important. Because without discipline, we can't do anything. One of the things that Swami, I started out saying, he told my sons when they later sang many times in front of Swami, they are not fantastic singers or anything. They can stay within tune and beat and they can sing well. Swami told them that, you know, to go to a job interview, the previous day itself you will iron clothes. You will hang it up properly. You will make sure that you look smart when you go for a job interview. You will read about the company that you are going to interview with so that you can answer well. All this to feed yourself 3 meals a day. That is a job. You are going to get a salary. For that salary you prepare yourself so much. To sing in front of the Lord who gives you everything, from sunshine to water to all of the things that you use on this earth, don't you think you have to be prepared? Don't you think you have to be disciplined? That is how he told my son. So these are some of the things that have stayed with me about the bhajan singing. that be prepared, understand what you're singing, sing with love so that the people in the congregation also feel the same emotion that you have. Later on, don't stand there talking forever so that you lose all the vibrations that you have gained in that bhajan. Leave the hall quietly. These were some of the things that Swami said. And he said, you know, include the sarva. I respond in whatever way you call me. The only criteria is call me with love. Call me with devotion. Call me with love. I had gone to New York. I apologized to Brother Anupam and some of the others who have heard me speak and Sister Sujata here. I may be repeating myself. But this is a very important lesson that I learned and I thought I should share with you. Because I have been learning bhajans, singing bhajans, dinin bhajans all my life. And it becomes a mechanical activity. We forget that those words that we sing have power. They have power. We forget that. My husband and I, we had gone to New York for our 25th wedding anniversary to see a Broadway show. I had always wanted to go to one and we went to the Broadway show. But before we went there, because it was our wedding anniversary, Swami had performed our marriage 25 years before that in Vrindavan. So we went to the Ganesha temple in New York and then in Flushing and then we went to the show. Now this was in the month of December. The previous 6 months before that, I had gone to Puttaparthi as usual in the month of July. I always went in June, July time frame. Being a teacher, those were my summer holidays, so I went there. And Swami, my husband had not come. Swami had called me and my two sons in for an interview. And while he was talking in the interview, he had materialized some vibhuti and he put it into my hand. And normally he says, eat it, you know, he's always very particular, eat it immediately. And we really don't want to eat it in front of Swami, because you'll get all the vibhuti on your face, then you have to lick it, then you can't touch his feet. So, you know, you want to hold on to it. But Swami is insistent, says, eat it. So, but that particular time, he did not say, eat it. He gave it to me, then he got up from his chair and in the windowsill, Swami always kept a whole stack of little square pieces of paper. So he took the paper and he took my wrist and he made me put all the vibhuti into that. He held the paper, held my wrist and he made me tap all the vibhuti into that piece of paper. And he folded it very gently and he gave it to me and said, take it to America. So I thought, oh, my husband is not here. So Swami is making sure that we share the vibhuti when we get home. So I took it and I brought it back to my room. And very safely I put it in my purse within the zippered thing so that when I go back I can give it to my husband. And that was that in the month of June. And in December, I came back to Washington DC and I opened my purse and I had looked everywhere and try as I might, I could not find that little packet that Swami had folded for me. My husband got a little irritated. He said, you got the interview but you couldn't even carry the vibhuti properly for me. So I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I know I had kept it carefully. I went through my suitcase, I went through my purse, couldn't find it and we felt bad and that was the end of the story. In December, I went to New York for this Broadway show and in the intermission, I went to the ladies' room and I was just there washing my hands when there was a Hispanic lady who was there in the bathroom doing some work and she looked at me. I was wearing salwar kameez, I was wearing Indian clothes. And she kept looking at me. And I thought, oh, she's looking at me because I'm wearing Indian clothes. But it's not very strange in New York. There are a lot of Indians there. People wear Indian clothes. Everybody is used to seeing them. But she kept looking at me. And I was a little uncomfortable. Then after a few seconds, she asked me, you India? She asked me. And I said, yes, I'm from India. Few more minutes went by and she suddenly said, you know Sai Baba? She asked me. So now immediately you are alert, isn't it? Something you are in your home space. So yes, I said, I know Sai Baba. How do you know him? So she said, I don't know any Sai Baba. You know how we are all so impatient with our life. I'm like, okay, so then why are you asking me this question? These are my thoughts, you know. Then she said, no, I ask you, because she knows. She's asking me, do you know Sai Baba? She's saying she doesn't know Sai Baba. Then she says, no, I don't know Sai Baba. But I have a daughter who's 8 years old. She's extremely sick and she's in the hospital. Both her kidneys have failed and she's waiting for a kidney transplant. But I have no money for kidney transplant because I have no insurance. I just clean the bathrooms here in this theater. I have no money for that. So every day I pray to my Lord Jesus. Every day I pray. I'm a Catholic from Argentina. She said, I pray to my Lord Jesus. I've been praying and praying, but He not hear my prayer. He has not heard my prayer. And suddenly 4 days ago, there was this man in a dress, she said. There was this man in an orange dress with curly hair. And he tell me that India woman come to your work. You ask her for, he said some word that sounded like booty. For bhuti, vibhuti, she heard it as booty. He said, she give you booty. I ask him, what is booty? He tell me, it's white powder. Then I ask him, what is your name? He says, my name is Sai Baba. So I had this dream. I woke up and I thought I was going crazy because of my stress about the child. I didn't pay much attention to this. Then the following day, again I had the same. He didn't say devotee or anything. India lady is coming. I came to work, no India lady in this theater. I went back, same. 3 days in a row, there was no Indian in the theater. 3 days in a row, she had the same dream. This was the 4th day and she saw me in my salwar kameez. So that is the reason why she came and said, are you from India? When I said yes, she said, do you know Sai Baba? I said yes. Then she says, do you have booty? Some white powder. So usually, you know, in the purse we all carry a packet of vibhuti with us, you know, generally as Sai devotees we are used to. So I'm racking my brain, oh my gosh, I hope I have some vibhuti packet to give this lady, because she has told me about her child. I opened my purse and that zippered packet where I normally, and there sitting on top is that lovingly folded vibhuti packet from June, which I could not find to give my husband, on the top of my wallet. I found it. I knew that 6 months ahead of this woman's problem, our loving Lord had already heard her prayers. He had packed it and used me as the postman from Prashanthi Nilayam to New York. I found it. I knew it was for her. I said, here it is. I have some vibhuti. You may take it. And I wished her good luck. Good luck, I said. And she said, thank you very much. And I went back to the program, and of course it had started, and I had to cross through many people who were all giving me very tough looks because the program had started and I had to cross over to my seat. I went and sat down and I was so excited, I wanted to tell my husband and I started to whisper, and very similar to the lady yesterday, we were talking and the lady next to me said, shh, this is a Broadway show, you're not supposed to talk. So I said, okay, better keep my mouth closed. We are in a serious place here. And then program got over, we were driving back to DC, and very excitedly I said, Mohan, you know what? You yelled at me so much that I lost your vibhuti, but it was never meant for you. Our ego never lets us go. Because my husband had blamed me. And I had been very sure I had kept it carefully. And I had told him, and he said, no, you are very careless. So I said, see, I was not careless. It was never meant for you. It was meant for that Hispanic lady. So my husband, being the practical NASA engineer, he said, that's all very fine. Did you take her phone number? We know so many doctors in the New York area who are Sai devotees. Maybe they can help her with her child. I said, no, no, I didn't take her number and all. He said, why didn't you think a little practically? I said, yes, but why don't you think a little spiritually? Vaidyo Narayano Harihi, we keep saying in the house, the greatest doctor on this earth is that Narayana, that Lord. What more doctor does that child need? He himself has sent the vibhuti. So we came back discussing, and being the human being that I am, Every day in my prayers, I used to pray to Swami, Swami, I have given the vibhuti to her. Please take care of that poor child. Both the kidneys have failed. I prayed. 2 days went by, 3 days went by, 5 days went by, maybe even a month after that mundane life took over. I forgot to pray about that girl. Finished. After a few days, my usual normal life continued. This was in the month of December, brothers and sisters. The following year again, as was my practice, I arrived in Prashanthi Nilayam in June. I arrived in the morning in Bangalore. Afternoon darshan, I was in Prashanthi Nilayam. This time all four of us were there. And Swami called us for an interview. As soon as he closed the door, he did not even walk up to his chair. He turned around and said, New York etlu nindi? How was New York? Immediately I said, Swami, there was that lady. Telusule, kidney transplant, emi vaddu. She did not need a kidney transplant. She's okay now. The child is okay now. I said, Swami, she was a lady from Argentina, Swami. She didn't even know English properly. She said she was praying to Lord Jesus every day. Swami, in such a matter of fact, we said, ye peraite emi bangaru. What name does it matter? By what name you call me? Does it matter? How you call me? That is important. How you call me? The name is not important. But how you call me, that is important. Whether she called me Jesus, whether you called me Buddha, whether you called me Sai Rama, it doesn't matter how you call me. I said, Swami, how quickly she called you. She said, he didn't call me very quickly. From childhood she was practicing the calling. So that is where the discipline aspect comes, is it not? We have to practice. Anything without practice, it is hard. Now I am seeing my small, I have four grandchildren, I have a 1.5-year-old. She is very insistent that she wants to feed herself. To take the peas in one little spoon and to bring it to her mouth, 3 times the peas will fall out of the spoon. She has to practice. Me, she keeps saying. When the mother tries to feed her, my grandchild. And when we try to feed my daughter, I say, no, mommy, she's trying to practice. Let her eat it herself. So, by the time the peas come to her mouth, 3 times it has fallen down into her plate. 4th time she gets it. Even that simple act as human beings to bring the food to our mouth, we have to practice as children. To bring this Lord to us, don't we have to practice? Can we just go to the bhajan and sing whatever we want, however we want, in whichever way we want, with whatever mindset, worrying about whether harmonium player is giving shruti, tabla player is losing the beat, today that fellow didn't come, I have the bad harmonium player. If we are thinking about all this, can we connect with him? These are the questions that come to my mind. I don't know about you. It doesn't matter by what name we call him. The power of the name is so great that it is the intensity with which we call him is what he hears. So that is why he says he has got a filter around his ears. What goes with intensity penetrates into his ears. I remember once I was in Vrindavan in Bangalore. I'm from Bangalore. I grew up in Bangalore. Swami's place was in Bangalore at that time when he was setting up the colleges. The first college started in Bangalore. So most of his time Swami used to, in the 70s, used to spend in Bangalore. So we had the good fortune of being with him all the time. And I remember once he was talking to a small group of those few students that were there in that college. And there was some war or some disturbance going on in some part of the world. And one of the students was sitting there in a very glum way when Swami was talking. And Swami asked him, why are you sitting like this? So the boy said, Swami, I'm wasting my time sitting in this college in here when I should be in the army or in the navy going and helping out in these places where all these disturbances are happening. And Swami said, no, right now your parents have sent you here as a student. Your first job is to be a good student. That is your job. You finish your dharma as a student first. Then you can go and do anything. But then that boy said, Swami, but who will hear those prayers of those people who are suffering? And Swami said, Do you think I don't hear? You know how sharp my hearing is. He said, the footsteps of an ant is like thunder in my ears. Have you ever thought about the footsteps of an ant and its walk and the sound of its feet and its legs? But Swami is saying, the footsteps of an ant is like thunder in my ears. So when you call me, it doesn't matter where I am, I will come to you. But remember to practice to call me, and remember to call me with love. That is why whenever we sit, we say, oh my God, I keep saying, I keep going to the Sai Center for years and years. I don't know whether that Swami is listening or not. But how am I calling? I have to question myself. I have to question her, because I have seen people who have called with that intensity and Swami has got up and gone to them. Got up and gone. Let me tell you about a lady that I knew as a child. A wonderful lady. Very came from a very wealthy family in Bangalore. When Swami in the old days, he used to come and stay with us in Prashanthi Nilayam in the 50s, even when I was not born, he used to come and stay with my aunts or my parents. And they were all middle class people who didn't own mansions, big homes. Swami used to come and stay in the small room that they were able to give him, use the small bathroom that they had, and he stayed very happily with them. But down the road, there was another devotee who came along, very well-to-do people, very, very devoted, husband and wife. They used to send the car to Swami to Puttaparthi, and Swami didn't even have a car in those days. He would come in their car and stay with them in Bangalore. Very devoted people, looked after Swami like the king, you know, provided everything for him, looked after him with so much love. And we all used to go there to sing bhajans. When Swami was there, when Swami used to give darshan for the small crowd that used to be there. And so the years went by, and then Swami had Vrindavan, the old bungalow. Swami bought the building. Swami had his own place. So he did not have to come and stay in any devotee's homes after that. He used to stay in Vrindavan, and all of us used to go there. As the years went by, the lady's husband passed away. She had two sons, and for whatever reason, the way things worked out, the sons were in different places, they were not in Bangalore anymore. They sent the mother to the servant quarters that was built in that huge mansion that she used to entertain Swami in, to the back of the house where there was a servant quarters. The mother, who was widowed, was put there. This huge mansion was boarded up, and the sons did not bother to take care of the mother much. So this mother lived in the back. There must have been some small amount of money that took care of her. She had a stroke and she stayed there with one lady who looked after her in the servant quarters, which was one room, a small kitchen and a veranda kind of a place. This wealthy lady, who fed hundreds of people who came to see Swami at all times of the day, herself now had to eat two meals a day, and she was relegated into this really sad. Once in a while, all of us, Sai devotees, I remember, they would take her to have darshan of Swami. She had had a stroke, she was in a wheelchair. They would take. And then as the years went by, she was not able to travel even to Vrindavan from her home. So once in a while, somebody would bring her, she would have Swami's darshan. Wherever she sat in Vrindavan, Swami would always go to her and talk to her and bless her. When he materialized vibhuti, she could not even take it because she had had a stroke. Swami will tell her, open your mouth and pour all the vibhuti into her mouth. So that is how it was. One particular Saturday, Swami was going to come to our house for dinner, to my parents' house. And not a Saturday, it was a Thursday. And my father, I had the good fortune of traveling with Swami up and down in the car when I was a child, till I was about 13 or so. Wherever Swami went, he would take me along with him in the car. So my father and I, and we went to Vrindavan to pick up Swami, to bring him to our house. He used to come in my father's car, which was a Fiat he had. And Swami got into the car after the evening darshan, and we started to drive towards Jainagar in Bangalore. Suddenly, Swami said, Padmanabh, let us go to this particular extension where this lady lives. I want to see her. She has not come to see me for almost a year, Swami said. So my father said, okay. And we drove to this wealthy lady's house, who was now in the servant quarters that I was. I don't want to mention names, because it was a difficult life for her after her husband passed away. So we came there, and brothers and sisters, I remember as a young child, this house lit up with lights when Swami used to come. Beautifully decorated, like we all decorated, Swami's physical form was coming. Such a beautiful home, looking so dilapidated in a way, the windows all boarded, no lights, the big curving driveway covered with all leaves from the trees in the garden. And I remember my father driving into that driveway, and you couldn't drive, and Swami got out, it had rained the previous day, the leaves were all wet in that circular driveway, and my father is saying, Swami, the leaves are very wet, I'll see how far I can take the car. Swami said, no, I'm getting out here. And he seemed to be in a big hurry. He got out of the car, lifted his robe, and he walked on that circular driveway. And he said, where is he going? The house is boarded up. But Swami knew that she was in the back. So he walked to the back of the house, to the small little servant quarters with one small light hanging in the veranda. And believe it or not, we went and knocked on the door. This lady who used to look after this woman opened the door. She's totally shocked to see Swami standing there the day after the rain with leaves all over in that area. And she ran inside to tell her, Amma, Amma, Sai Baba has come, Sai Baba has come. Swami didn't even wait for an invitation. He walked into the house and walked into the bedroom. And there on a single cot, this lady was sitting. In front of her was a picture on a desk, Swami's picture. They were trying to light the lamps to do bhajan. This old lady and this other help, assistant who used to help her, she is not a Sai devotee, but she has come many times to Vrindavan with this lady. They don't know bhajan. This lady used to sing long songs for Swami, I remember, in Kannada. You know, she is from Bangalore, Karnataka, so she used to sing. Whenever we used to come when we were children to her house, and Swami used to tell her, sing, she will start one long song. In those days, bhajans were not there. You know, as children, we used to get fed up. I hope Swami doesn't ask her to sing. Because I will give you a small example. I'm not a very good singer, and you'll understand. She's beautiful song. Now that I'm older and more mature, I hope, I understand with what love. Ninna nambi bande enna kai bidadiru ghana mahimane sainatha. That is the first line. It was composed by Sri Kasturi's wife, but this lady used to sing it. So ninna nambi bande enna kai bidadiru ghana mahimane saiman. I have come with faith to you, O Lord Sai. Don't let go of my hand. Hold my hand always. You are a ghana mahima. You can do all sorts of leelas and mahimas. The simple act of my hand, don't ever let it go. So this is the first. So very nice. Everybody will follow. Ghana mahima ne sai natha. Ninna nambi bande yana kai bidadiru ghana mahima ne sai natha. Andu neene, indu neene.
In my past life also you have been with me. Indu neene, with me you are in this life also. In future lives also, don't let my hand go.
Not, that is not the first time that then she said, Janani janaka nine sainata yana anubandhi yu nine sa. You are my mother and father, you are my every relative. All these relatives will not be there with me when I need. She used to sing it when she had everybody. Who knew her future? Nobody will be there with me. Don't let go of mine. That is the second stanza. Desha desha vatirgi sai nata. Balu klesha patiru venu sai nata. Asha pasha vabidsu sai nata. Ninna dasara sanga kodu sai nata. It's a beautiful stanza. It says, desha desha vatirgi. Bandiruven, I have gone from guru to guru, country to country, miracles to miracles. I have gone all over this world looking and looking and looking. Desha desha vatirigi sainata. Balu klesha patiruvenu sainata. I have struggled
to find the truth. I have looked at gurus, I have looked at ashrams, I have looked at countries, I have looked at religions, and finally, oh Lord, I have found you. Balu klesha pattirvenu. With lot of difficulty I have found you. Asha pashava bidsu. Take away this desire to go on searching. Take away this desire to go on searching for you, because I have found you. Asha pashava bidsu Sainatha. Ninna dasara sangha. Give me the company of the truth of your feet and the company of the devotees who love you. Give me that. This was the song. There are 8 more stanzas. Please don't be afraid, I won't sing it. She would sing. So we entered her house. Swami enters the bedroom and this lady is sitting there singing Desha Desha Vatirgi Sai. Because it's a Thursday bhajan, they are about to light the lamp. She's getting ready, not yet started. She walked into the room and she said, oh, you Deva. She used to call him Deva. You have arrived in my house. And tears started to flow in her eyes. I don't have anything to offer you. There was a days when she used to put 25 sweets in front of him which he did not eat. I don't even have a plate of fruits to offer you, Swami. Why did you come to my house today? Do you want to make me feel bad? Why did you come? I was happy in my bubble, sitting here just thinking of you. That was enough for me. Why did you come? Swami said, what do you mean, why did you come? I missed you. You didn't come for 1 year to Vrindavan. So I came to see you, but I have nothing. He said, why can't I sit on the bed next to you? I have no chairs to offer you, Swami. I can sit. Come, Gitama, that's me. Come, Gitama. Come, Padmanabh, my father. Come and sit, come and sit. And Swami takes the sheet from her bed and puts it on the floor. They will sit on the floor. It's bhajan, is it not? Why do you need a chair? This is our Swami. We think he wants so many things from us. He wants nothing from us. We said, and I want to tell you the most beautiful aspect of Swami's love. Such a Swami we will never find in any place except where we have seen him. So, that lady is trying to light the lamp. That old woman says, light the lamp, light the lamp. Swami Bandidare in Kannada. Deepa Hatsu, Deepa Hatsu. There are a few Kannadigas here. Light the lamps, light the lamps. That lady is looking at this old woman. Swami, in a very conversational way, comes to his own picture. There are 2 lamps. He looks at the dish there. There is no oil to light the lamp. There is no oil. And that poor maid, that assistant, she doesn't know how to say it in front of Swami. There is no oil. So she is looking at her. This is an elderly lady who can't hear very well. So loudly she has to say, I don't have oil to light the lamp. She is standing there. Swami, with his back to this old lady, see, we should not embarrass the people we are helping. With his back to the old lady, put his finger like this to that, on his lips, to tell that lady, be quiet. And he looked at me, and in Telugu he said, bring me a glass of water. There is no kitchen also, it's a small kitchenette. So, I just brought him a small glass of water, and Swami just took a sip of it as though pretending to drink. And when he returned the glass he was holding, he put his finger in that glass and said, pour it in the lamp to me. This is water that Swami just drank, and he is asking me to pour in the lamp. No talking with Swami, just with his eyes, like this he said. So I went there, I tried to pour it, that water has turned into oil. I poured it into the lamp, and Swami very nicely said, I will light the lamp, I will light the lamp. Lit the lamp, came and sat on the bed, and said, sing. Don't start home and all that. I have to go to Padmanabh's house for dinner. Sing one song. I'm like, oh, I know what song she's going to sing. Ninna nambi bande yena kai bidadiru gana mahimane sainata pannaga shayana panna rakshaka prasanna ನಗು ಬೇಗ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ ಪನ್ನಗ ಶಯನ ಪನ್ನ ರಕ್ಷಕ. ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಮ್ ಡೌನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಪನ್ನ ರಕ್ಷಕ ಟು ಲುಕ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಮೀ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋಬಡಿ. ಜನನಿ ಜನಕ ನೀನೆ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಮದರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫಾದರ್. ಎನ್ನ ಅನುಬಂಧಿಯು ನೀನೆ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೈ ರಿಲೇಟಿವ್. ಅನುಬಂಧಿಯೋ ನೀನೆ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ, ಜನ್ಮ ಜನ್ಮದಲ್ಲಿ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ, ಎನ್ನ ಉದ್ಧರಿಸುವ ನೀನೆ ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ. ಜನ್ಮ ಜನ್ಮದಲ್ಲಿ, ಇನ್ ಜನ್ಮಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಜನ್ಮಾಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಲುಕ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಮೀ, ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಟೇಕ್ ಮೀ ಕ್ಲೋಸರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಲೋಸರ್ ಟು ಯು. ಶಿ ಸ್ಯಾಂಗ್ ದ ಸಾಂಗ್ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ಲಿ. ಸಾಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೋ ನೈಸ್ಲಿ ಯು ಸಿಂಗ್ ಎಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಏಜ್? ಐ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಲರ್ನ್ ಸಮ್ ಟ್ರಿಕ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಯು, ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಅರ್ ಲಾಫ್. Said, I have to go now. I have told Kamalamma, that is my mother, I am coming for dinner. Just on the way, I missed you. Because you have not come for 1 month, I just said, Swami, why did you come? He said, why? You have looked after me for so many years. Is it not my duty to come and see you? Is it not my duty to come and see you? You are calling out with so much love. I can hear in Vrindavan, you know. You have become deaf, you have become old. But I am not deaf, I can hear you. I can hear you. The power of that name, when it is sung with that love and intensity, it is not us traveling to Prashanthi Nilayam. We can bring him from Prashanthi Nilayam to Buckhorn Retreat. We can bring him with the power of those words. We don't have to do much. We just have to love him. We just have to love him. So that was one of the incidents that I saw in my life, and I said, my goodness, I have to learn to sing like this woman with that intensity and love and devotion for Swami. And that discipline, her arm did not work, her leg did not work, she had a stroke, but come Thursday, 6:30 p.m., she was ready sitting on her bed to do her bhajan on time. And Swami arrived on time for her bhajan. So some of these things are necessary to keep us focused on. The discipline is necessary to keep us focused. Otherwise it will become a game. It is not serious anymore. That is why Swami has given these tools. Sit in a certain way. Don't swing like a pendulum. Because he told once, one of the ladies in the interview room with me, she was a very good singer actually. So she said, Swami, I have composed 2 new bhajans. So Swami said, when you stop swinging like a pendulum, I will listen. Because when you are swinging my brain, I am getting a headache. You are swinging so much, I am getting a headache. So there is a certain way to do everything, that is all. There is a certain way to do everything. When we have our salad, we all look for our fork and knife. We don't start picking up the lettuce with our fingers and start eating. There is a certain way to do everything, that's all. So this was one, I thought, what a power this name has. You can get him to you wherever you are. Whether it is the Hispanic lady in New York, other whether this old lady in the back of the house with leaves all over the place in the rain, Swami with his edge of his robe always wet. My father used to be somebody who was a very alert person. Whenever Swami used to go anywhere, in the car he would always carry an extra robe of Swami's from Swami's room. That day after this lady's going to her house, Swami's lower part of his robe was all wet from the water from her driveway. As soon as he came to our house, first thing my father said, Swami, come to the room first. Swami changed his robe and came and gave darshan to everybody. And Swami was so particular how we present ourselves to other people also. How we present ourselves. Because we are going in his name. We can't go any way we like. Once, you know, I think I may have told this, but this was a lesson for me. I spoke in Texas. And Brother Jagadishan also spoke there. And he's, of course, many of you have heard, he's a wonderful orator. And his was the first talk in the morning. Mine was in the afternoon. And it was very, very hot. So I had worn a cotton sari. And when it was my turn to speak, I got up and came and spoke. It was in the afternoon. This was in the Labor Day weekend. When I went in June to Puttaparthi and Swami was talking to me, Suddenly he asked me, where have you been speaking? Swami, I spoke in Texas. I know. Jagadishan came, Swami said. Yes, Swami, he spoke very nicely. He said, yes, you also spoke very nicely, but two mistakes. Oh, what mistakes. I was just telling my Suchitra just now, you know, how she was also reminding me about my hair something. So I was telling, you know, I'm remembering what Swami said. He said, two mistakes. One, why did you get this type of a haircut? Because they had cut it like a bang in the front. Throughout the talk, you're going on moving your hair backwards. Throughout the talk. Everybody is looking at your haircut rather than listening about my story. One mistake. And second mistake, he said, don't you pack properly your clothes? I said, no, Swami, I... But, you know, with Swami, like Arjuna's story, we can't even say, no, Swami, I told you yesterday about the woman with the rice. We can't say, no, Swami. I said, I don't know, Swami, did I not pack properly? Because I always wear saris for my talk. He said, no, you went there, you wore that blue-colored cotton sari. Swami knows what sari I wore, blue-colored cotton sari. You sat on the floor for 3 hours listening to Jagadishan. Then you went to lunch. Then you came for your talk. When you went for lunch, you could not change your sari. I said, why, Swami? Sir, wearing a cotton sari, it is all crumpled in the back. And it has gone above your ankle. You come and stand near the podium, I have to see your ankle, is it? I have to see your ankle. You forgot I'm there behind you? When you go to speak, you wear a silk sari, it doesn't get so crumpled. You know, he's our mother, he's our father. A mother would tell something, hey, your sari is not looking proper, wear the right one. If you have daughters, you would have said that. He's just, but he's also giving me a very big lesson. Don't forget I am there. Don't forget any minute that I am there with you. Present yourself properly. Don't do something crazy where you think that I am not there. Will you do that if I am there? Will you do that if I am there? You can see me physically? We would not do the many things that we do if we can see Swami really sit. He's sitting here. But if we could see him, we would not do many of the things that we do. Many of the things. And that is our life. So he says that Namasmarana should become a part of your life so much that it becomes a part of you. You don't have to plan the day. Okay, from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. I'm going to do Namasmarana. No. You have to do it so much that it becomes an integral part of you. That without your knowledge you are doing it. And for that, you know, another wonderful thing that Swami told me, he said, when you start doing it, it's okay, you can do it any way you want. You won't concentrate, you'll be thinking about the tabla player, you'll be thinking, oh, I need some lozenge or something, I might cough. You'll be thinking of so many things if you are the lead singer. If you are the person in the audience who is following, you'll be thinking, Abba, this fellow is singing so badly today. All those thoughts will be there. Okay, but that is the first step. Because we are all human. But you start somewhere. But don't stay there. Progress. Progress from that point to the next point. Become better. Become more disciplined. We'll start practicing. Then from that level, forget about all that and just sing for Swami, knowing that He is there. Just sing. When you start doing that all the time, it becomes very intense when you are not conscious of your surroundings. And without your knowledge, you will think of me. You will think of your name. Whichever it may be, whichever name. If you have not read the book, The Way of the Pilgrim, please read it. What a wonderful book. How things start happening in this very illiterate, poor man in Russia when he starts practicing the name of the Lord Jesus. He keeps on repeating and it becomes a part of him. He doesn't have food, food comes. Somebody will bring it. He doesn't have anything, somebody will come to help him with a shawl. Please read it. But in any case, he said, start practicing. It becomes an internal part of you and you will do it without. For us, most of the time, if we say something, we go, Yo Rama, we'll say. It has become a habit if you are a South Indian, Yo Rama. If you are a Sai devotee, if you want somebody to move, you say, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. If you are talking too much, they say, shh, Sai Ram. And then you see somebody, you really like, it's a Sai Ram. Are you all sleeping in my talk today? I don't hear the Sai Ram. Don't we do all these things when we go to the retreats? We do all these things. I also do. So this Sai Ram became a part of my life. I'll tell you one incident that happened to me. And then I will let you on, get on with your coffee and tea break. I'm sorry, I'm taking up your time today because of the fun we started. I was in Maryland. I was the Bala Vikas SSC coordinator of my center. And we had prepared a most wonderful program by our SSC children for Swami. It was Swami's 75th birthday. So you can count the years back. And you know, whenever you are a coordinator, and I'm sure those of you who are organizing your own thing, you will forget Swami because you are so stressed out organizing. You're so stressed out. Oh, did the food come? Did they prepare properly? And that too, you have a guest like me who is allergic to garlic. Now you have to break your brains. What shall we give this woman, you know? So you have so many problems as an organizer. So I was in the same thing. I don't know, Swami was long forgotten in the busyness of making the program for him. Anyway, it was going. But as I said, since childhood, I'm in the habit of doing my own namasmarana in my own way. Like I said, I'm not a very good singer. But in my own way, I have my prayers and this. It's become a part of me wherever I am. If I didn't do prayers in my prayer room, if I'm going for a walk, I'll do it there. If I'm not going for a walk, if I'm driving, I will do it there somewhere. So that particular day, I had finished all the rehearsals with the children. You know, you all know that usually Swami's birthday comes around Thanksgiving. So the next day was Thanksgiving and Swami's birthday. I had kind of come together, I think. And on the way back from the rehearsal, I stopped at the bank at the ATM to withdraw some money because I wanted to buy some fruits and flowers for my own prayers in the morning because it was Swami's birthday the next day. And then in the evening was the program. So I went to withdraw some money and I pulled up at the ATM, and being not very tall, I can never reach that ATM, you know, the buttons there. So I have to open my door and kind of bend out. And so I opened my door and I was just pressing the button. I had just withdrawn the money and I turned to the side to put the money in my purse. And suddenly the back door of my car opened and some man got into the car, pulled my hair back, and put a huge, you know, like a steak knife to my neck. It was completely very hard against my throat. And he said, drive, 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 he said. But my door was open, my one leg was out, still not fully in. It was not closed, and he is asking me to drive. I said, I have to close the door. So I closed the door. I could see him in my mirror. He had a brown cap, I could see some blonde hair, he had his hat down. Couldn't see his face very well. Drive, 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 he's saying. And without my knowledge, and this is what I'm saying and what Swami said to me, if we keep practicing without our knowledge, our mind and body will cooperate with us. So without my knowledge, my thumb went on the sticker of Swami that I have in my car. I have a tiny little sticker of Swami's in my car right next to my steering. And every day I always touch it. If there is a traffic light, I'll touch. I'm always in the habit of touching Swami's picture. Whenever I'm driving, yielding into heavy traffic, Swami, I'm yielding, get in here with me, you know, a little bit. So, I'm used to that. So, without my knowledge, my hand went on that picture. I didn't even know I had done that. This man kept asking me to drive. I closed the door and my eyes went to the gas. Do I have enough gas? I don't know where he's going to ask me to drive. He's asking me to drive. And he said, drive, drive. But what had happened, there was another car behind me who was waiting to use the ATM. He had seen a man get into my car. So he has called 911. I don't know. Because he suddenly saw some strange man get in. But in the meantime, in the mirror, this man is there, he's saying, drive. I said, yes, I will drive. By that time, that 911 call had taken place, and within 3 minutes, some 3 police cars came and they blocked my exit in the front. So if this is the driveway, I have to drive out near the camera. Police car came and just stopped. And 6 police officers got out and stood in a straight line in front of the car. They didn't want to come forward because I think they could see that there was this knife against my throat and my head was pulled back. So, brothers and sisters, none of us have practiced this dialogue, right? We have all practiced so many things. But suddenly, I am talking. I don't know how I am talking. So I tell him, look, I cannot drive because there is a police car there. I think, I'm talking in this voice, I think it is better you get down and give yourself up. Because I can't drive, they are going to come and get you. So this guy is looking at me through the mirror, this is all through the mirror. And he said, how come you are not scared? So I'm saying, well, what is the use of being scared? Anyway, you are going to do whatever you want to do. My children have finished high school, my responsibilities are more or less over. I'm having this conversation with some strange man with a knife at my throat. So, I can't do anything much about it. You will do whatever you do and my responsibilities are over. But, you know, I don't know, if they catch you, they may put you in the jail for a very long time. This is my very ignorance of the US law. You know, so they will think, so it is better you give yourself up, I think. It may be better for you, I'm telling you. Because as far as I am concerned, I can't do anything. I have no control over what you are going to do. So again there was a dead silence. He must have thought he really caught hold of some crazy woman. Because I'm talking like I'm talking to somebody here in a normal world. So he says, okay. And he opened the door of the car and he got out and he started to walk to the front of the car where the headlights are. I had never seen such a thing other than in the TV news, you know, we see all these things. He came up and the 6 police officers, they jumped on him so quickly. Before I could blink my eyes, they had handcuffed him, put some chain on his legs and everything, and they dragged him and threw him in the... And I am saying, oh, you Sairama, poor fellow. What are they doing to this man? I didn't expect they will do all these things. I thought he will walk out with his hands up in the air or something. And he walked out and they threw him in the car and the 6 police officers came. Are you all right? Are you all right? Luckily that fellow had, in his excitement or ignorance, I don't know, he had put the blunt side of the knife. Ah, yes, my God. I don't know, didn't look like he was a very good expert in criminal activity. So I came out in this very tall African-American police officer. And around the ATM, all the people are standing because it is Thanksgiving holiday. People are shopping. It was a shopping complex where the ATM was, you know, a lot of the grocery store was there and all that. So I came out and this African man, American police officer, he just picked me up like this. She's okay. Happy Thanksgiving. Everybody go home. Happy Thanksgiving. One more reason to have gratitude. Happy Thanksgiving. Go home everybody. Have a good time. And then he tells me, are you okay? I am feeling very agitated having seen for the first time this kind of an arrest of this man. So I said, no, I am okay. But what are you all going to do with that fellow? So he said, ma'am, don't worry about him. You please tell. No, I said, will he get a lawyer? Will he get a lawyer? He said, you should be worrying about your lawyer. Why are you worried? I said, no, but I think, why did you all drag him? He said, because we put chains on his neck. But why did you drag him? You know, that idea of dragging somebody to the car had really bothered me a lot. Anyway, that police car left with that fellow. And then I sat down in the car. They said, can you come to the parking lot? He drove my car into the parking lot. It was a big shopping complex. And he asked me all the questions. What were you saying to him? So I told him that, my responsibilities are over. Maybe you should give yourself up. So the police officer said, I'm very thankful today that you were the victim. I said, what? So he said, yes, because if some woman had started to scream and all that, he would have probably reacted very differently. He has escaped from the penitentiary and they were already chasing him, which was why he got into my car and said, drive, drive, drive. They were chasing him. That's why we came so quickly. But if you had screamed and everything, he might have really damaged your thing, taken your car and driven himself. So it's a good thing you talked very calmly. So I said, I don't know, I said something to that fellow. So he wrote down everything. And then he said, okay, shall I, will you come to the police station to place the complaint? I said, no, you are saying he came from the jail, penitentiary. Are you going to put him back there? And he says, yes, yes, he has got arm's length of misdemeanors and this and that. He'll be in there for a long time. So I said, I don't want to add more to his problems, you know. Anyway, you are going to put him in the jail. So I don't want to give a complaint. You have whatever you have. I just want to go home. And I'm thinking, tomorrow morning I have all this SSC program going on. Who is going to be sitting in this police station, you know, telling all these things? So I want to go home. This was by 7:30 by this time, which is very dark because of the time change. So he said, okay, I will drive you. I will drive behind you. Can you drive? As my house was not far, I drove to the house. He parked the car and he came with a car. And he said, you know, this is a hotline number. This, you seem to be very calm right now. But in a couple of hours, you may go into shock. You know, Brother Phil might be able to explain this better. You might go into a shock and have problems because of what happened. Because with the knife and all these things, it's not something an ordinary thing. So here is a hotline number. You can call this number, they will help you if you need any help psychologically. I said, no, no, thank you very much. I have my own hotline number. I don't want this hotline. No, no, you keep it. He said, he went. Then my husband came home. I told him the whole story. He said, oh my God, you are such a calamity, Jane. Wherever you go, something like this. You are always giving birth to Swami. All this happened, finished. This was all Swami's birthday. Swami was in Prashanti Nilayam. So there the birthday celebration. Here it is evening for us. There it is birthday morning, 23rd morning. Swami comes to my mother in Prashanti Nilayam and says, how is Geeta? In between all the band and Veda chanting and all that noise is going on, right, when Swami's birthday celebration, he asked my mother, how is Geeta? So she said, she's okay, Swami, because my mother was there in Puttupathi already for a week. She had not heard this whole story. She's okay. So Swami looked at her and said, now she's okay. He told her in Puttupathi and walked away. So my mother thought maybe I was not well or something. And then after they came to Bangalore on the 26th or 27th, my mother called me and said, what happened? Are you unwell? Because Swami said that he asked me and he said, now you're okay. Then I told her this whole story. And my father said, Swami is coming on December 5th to Bangalore for the super specialty hospital to see the construction is going on. So I said, oh, will you please thank him for me? Because without his help, I couldn't have escaped this. Swami said, my father said, okay. So Swami arrived on December 5th and he came to Vrindavan and my father was sitting next to him there and all the college boys were there in the Vrindavan session. And suddenly Swami turned to my father, who was the opposite of me, man of few words. You saw him yesterday in the video. Man of few words, but who dedicated all his life to Swami. He turned to my father and said, Padmana, tell all the boys what happened yesterday, what happened last week to Geeta Ma. Swami said, out of the blue. My father had not even had a chance to tell him. He had just arrived from Puttupathi. So my father stood up and he said, my daughter went to the ATM machine. Some man attacked her. Swami saved her. Sai Ram. Sai Ram. He said, I have taken 15 minutes. I have gone over 5 minutes. I will finish in 2. So Swami said, you can't even narrate something properly. That too when you are telling about my story. Can't you tell nicely? Then Swami narrated the whole thing to the boys. And he said, shall I tell you all something that even Geetama's husband does not know? What is that? When that fellow was attacking her, you know what Geetama was thinking in her head? Which is so true. I come home and told my husband the next day. I was thinking in my head, I must not forget that Swami is with me at this time when I have spent 50 years of my life at his lotus feet. If I forget now, it is not only a waste of time for me, it is a waste of time for Swami. Because he has spent so much time with me, I have learnt nothing from him. Number one. Number two, I'm thinking like this with this fellow's knife there. Then I thought, Swami always says this body is like a shirt, you know. This life is over, you discard it, buy a new shirt. You have done enough karma to be born again anyway. You'll get a new shirt. You'll get a new shirt. Come, what are you so worried about? So this is an old shirt, so why should I worry? My responsibilities are over, Swami will take. So he said, this crazy, Swami is telling the boys, this crazy lady, she's saying that this, you know, what is there, this thing, she has wasted, Swami has wasted his time on her by spending so much time with her. And she's saying, my body is like an old shirt. She's a lady. She should have said, my body is like an old sari, is it not? So anyway, Swami told the whole story, finished. Told the boys. Later when I went to Puttaparthi the following year, I couldn't sing or I couldn't talk very well also because he had damaged my vocal cords actually with the pressure. When I went there, as soon as I walked into the interview room, Swami gave me a chain and said, you wear it all the time, Bangari. Your throat is hurting from that fellow. And then he said, you know, grace in triplicate. One, you remembered to put your hand on my picture and remember me subconsciously. Second, the police officers came. Third, most importantly, that fellow listened to what you told him, that criminal. In him also I am there, right? He heard because I was residing in his heart. So in three ways, you got grace. So the name is so powerful, brothers and sisters. But with what intensity and with what love and with what discipline and with what practice we choose to lead our lives is up to us. So we cannot turn to him and say, Swami, I've been calling out, you never answer. Maybe we have to look inward. I'm sorry, I took a few minutes more than my time. Sayonara.
Suno Sai Baba. Suno Sai Baba. Jagat ke wali. Suno Sai Baba. Jagat ke wali. Suno Sai Baba. Jagat ke wali. Suno Sai Baba. Suno Sai Baba. Suno Sai Baba. Jagat ke wali. Suno Sai Baba. Jagat ke wali. Suno Sai Baba. Kaka jaiyo des piya ke. Kaka jaiyo des piya ke. जो हम रो कहियो सलाम कहना जब से तुम परदेश से दारे इन नैन नींद हराम सुनो साईं बाबा जगत के वाली सुनो साईं बाबा जगत के वाली सुनो साईं बाबा गुरु को जाने हर रूठे गुरु मेल दे हर रूठे गुरु मेल दे गुरु रूठे ना ठो सुनो साईं बाबा जगत के वाली सुनो साईं बाबा
सुनो साईं बाबा सुनो साईं
Bye-bye.
जल जाए, कहूं तो मुख जल जाए, घूंगे को सपना भयो, घूंगे को सपना भयो, जो समझ समझ पछताए। सुनो नारे बाबा जगत के आबाद नहीं जिसमें तेरी याद नहीं है, वो काफिर जो तेरे इश्क में बर्बाद नहीं। बस्ती वो क्या बस्ती है, शहर भी वो क्या शहर है, घर भी वो क्या घर है, घर भी वो क्या घर है, जिस घर में तेरी याद नहीं। सुनो साईं बाबा जो मुख पर डरे के गोरी सोवे सेज पे मुख पर डरे केस, चल खुसरो घर अपने सैंत, चल खुसरो घर अपने रैन पई चौदे। सुनो माए दादा जो जागी पी के संग, तन मेरो मन पियो के वो भय एक रंग। सुनो साईं बाबा जगत के वाले, सुनो साईं बाबा
खुसरो दरिया प्रेम का, खुसरो दरिया प्रेम का, जो उभरा सो डूब गया, जो उभरा सो डूब गया, जो डूबा सो पा।
सुनो साईं बाबा जगत के वाले, सुनो साईं बाबा,
सुनो साईं बाबा, बोले साईं बाबा, सुनो साईं, छाप तिलक सब छीन ली रे मुझसे नैना मिलाई के,
छाप तिलक सब छीन मुझसे नैना मिलाई के,
छाप तिलक सब छीन ली रे मुझसे नैना मिलाई के,
छाप तिलक सब छीन मुझसे नैना मिलाई
के। हे स्वामी, आई एम रिमेम्बरिंग दैट डे इन दिल्ली जब आपने नजर करम किया। सरकार,
नजर ऊंची की तो दुआ बन गई, नजर नीची की तो हया बन गई, जब तूने नजर तिरछी की तो अदा बन गई, नजर फेर ली तो कजा बन गई, जी मुझसे नैना मिलाए गए,
छाप दिल के सब छीने मुझसे नैना मिलाए गए, छाप दिल के सब
कर दिया से मैं ना मिले खुश रहे तू नजर से पिलाता रहे खुश रहे तू नजर से पिलाता रहे मैं अदाओं पे खुद को मिटाता रहा मैं अदाओं पे खुद को मिटाता रहा तू लगाता रहे शौक से ठोकरे तू लगाता रहे शौक से ठोकरे मैं मोहब्बत में सर को झुकाता रहूं जी वो से नैना वो से तेरी नजरों तेरी नजरों ने घायल किया है सनम तेरी नजरों ने घायल किया है सनम दर्द ये जिंदगी भर कभी हो ना कम दर्द ये जिंदगी भर कभी हो ना कम तीर दिल के मेरे पार होते रहे तीर दिल के मेरे पार होते रहे मैं तड़पता रहूं तू मुस्कुराता रहे जी मुझसे नैना मिले मुझसे नैना मिले मुझसे नैना मिले मुझसे नैना मिले मुझसे छाप तिलक सब छीन ली रे मुझसे नैना मिलाई के छाप तिलक सब प्रेम बाटी का मधुर पिलाई के 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 मतवाली 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 कर दी आप तिलक सब छीन लीजिए मुझसे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन गोरी गोरी पैया हरी हरी चूड़िया गोरी गोरी पैया हरी हरी चूड़िया हरी हरी चूड़िया हरी हरी चूड़िया हरी हरी चूड़िया गोरी गोरी पैया हरी हरी चूड़िया हरी हरी चूड़िया भैया पकड़ धर ली नीरे मुझे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन शाप तिलक सब छीन ली रे मुझे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन पल पल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रचवा पल 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 जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रतवा पल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रतवा पल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रतवा पल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग तोरे रंग रतवा तोरे रंग रतवा तोरे रंग रतवा तोरे रंग रतवा तोरे रंग बल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रचवा बल बल जाऊं मैं तोरे रंग रचवा अपनी सी अपनी सी अपनी सी कर ली तोरे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन तोरे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन तोरे नैना मिलाई के शाप तिलक सब छीन खुसरो निजाम के पल पल जाइए 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 मोहे सुहाग मोहे सुहाग मोहे सुहागन की नींद मुझे नैना मिलाई तिलक सब छीन ले रे मोसे ने नाम लई जो
पाप तिलक सब छीन ले रे मोसे ने नाम लई
जो पाप तिलक सब छीन ले रे मोसे ने नाम लई मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले से हो पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले से हो पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले भवसागर में जीवन नैया डोल रही है ओ रखवैया सागर में जीवन नैया डोल रही है ओ रखवैया डोल रही है ओ रखवैया इसे पार तू ही लगा ले प्रभु से पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु से पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले से हो पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु से पग पग तू ही संभाले भवसागर में जीवन नैया डोल रही है ओ रखवैया रही है ओ रखवैया इसे पार तू ही लगा ले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले